Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Daily Tip starts right now on the BetMGM Network. I'm Chelsea Messenger. He's Michael Jenkins. And here's what's on the menu for the next hour. We'll start with a Whine About It Wednesday. You know that your girl loves to complain. And my Titans are 0-2, so maybe a little tease of what I will be complaining about there. At 7:20, we go on to our daily baseball slate of plays that we'll be playing today. And then at 7:40, Anthony Herron of the Big Ten Network stops by to get us ready for the biggest college football games this weekend. It's all coming up next here on the Daily Tip presented by BetMGM. All right, Jenk, so sometimes I think it's difficult for us as humans to appreciate greatness in the moment. Sometimes I think it takes a few years of like looking back and like, wow, that was really amazing. And we see this in sports all the time where, you know, the debate about Michael Jordan and LeBron. And I feel like in the moment of, you know, when LeBron was really in his prime, and I even hesitate saying that because he's still putting up, you know, massive numbers, is that I think people appreciate greatness more when it's already passed. And so now when I see these like historic performances in baseball this year, I feel like, you know, doing the Bart Simpson thing and like shaking people like, you need to appreciate what you're seeing. Because first it was Paul Skeens and people are like, oh, yeah, isn't that Livy Dunn's boyfriend? I'm like, he's one of the best pitchers of all time so far when it comes to his career numbers through two seasons in Major League Baseball. And I understand he had a little hiccup last night, but still, when your numbers are being posted next to like Dwight Gooden for like best seasons ever, you're doing something very, very right. And then next up, we have Cal Raleigh, who now is putting his name in the company of some of the best baseball players of all time, of Ken Griffey Jr., of, you know, Mickey Mantle. Because last night, he hit not one, but two home runs, his 55th and his 56th home run of the season. And to add on to it, the Mariners have now won 10 straight. They are now leading the American League West by a half game. And they're even closing in on the Tigers for the best record in the American League, just two games back. The Mariners have 83 wins. The Tigers have 85. So for Cal Raleigh, like, this is a great season. And even him, when you hear his quotes after the game, he says, I feel like I shouldn't be mentioned in the same breath as Ken Griffey Jr. and Mickey Mantle. But, like, this is the company that he's keeping. So it's just wild what he's doing, especially as a switch hitter and especially as a catcher. This is something that I think people do not realize if you're not like, you know, baseball fans, is that there is a reason most catchers don't put up, you know, massive numbers, because it is extremely exhausting and challenging to call a great game and sit behind the plate. And I don't know like how strong your legs are, but even just squatting for that long feels like it would be challenging to me. And that's why these guys have such massive quads, massive legs, and massive glutes, as we see on the Big Dumper. So I feel like Cal Raleigh is one of those players that people just don't appreciate enough.
Yeah, I think part of it is, you know, he hasn't really been a big name. I mean, people who know baseball have known Cal Raleigh, but not until this year has he really jumped into sort of the consciousness where even if you're sort of following baseball, you know who he is. And then also he plays out west, so you miss a lot of his games, I think, that aren't necessarily like easy to view, especially if you're here on the East Coast. But what he's done is so remarkable that last night, Dominique Canzone, his teammate, went 5 for 5 and hit 3 home runs in a game. Any other night of the week, you'd be talking about this kid who's, what, 28 years old, who plays for Seattle, who had a career night, and you haven't heard a whisper about it because of Cal Raleigh.
Right, because the overall storyline for Cal Raleigh and the fact that he is challenging, right, you know, the odds-on favorite entering the season to, like, lead the league in home runs, obviously, is Aaron Judge. And Aaron Judge is still a very good player, but also Aaron Judge is a brand name. He's one of the faces of Major League Baseball, and he plays for the Yankees. So I think a lot of people were still surprised, even, like, a month ago, you know, and a lot of people wanted to discount it and say, oh, Cal Raleigh plays for the Mariners. Who is that? But I think he continues to prove the doubters wrong. And if you watch him on a nightly basis, man, is he fun to watch. A great swing, a great home run hitter, and a good overall player who's now playing, you know, for a team that's very much in contention for the American League, which I don't know if I still trust the Mariners. We shall see. But it does appear that they're going to be making the playoffs. To win the AL West right now, minus 210, with only a few games left in the regular season. To win the American League, if you're interested, plus 425. And to win the World Series, they are 10-1. All right, Jenks. So I complain a lot, but in this segment, I actually am warranted to do so. It's a Wednesday, which means it's time to whine about it.
Why talk about it when you can whine about it?
Whine, whine, whine.
Here on Whining Wednesday.
Do you want to hear whining?
On the Daily Tip.
All right, so I feel like I have a plethora of complaints every single week on the show. Okay. So it's more about, like, which one do I choose for this segment. But, Jenks, what are you whining about it on this Wednesday?
Well, I debate it. I don't have a ton of complaints, but I'm all over companies that I use that aren't meeting a certain standard, and that company is Zipcar. I don't have a car because it saves me a ton of money. I use Metro when I can. I'll use an Uber, a Lyft, and occasionally, especially when I have to go out to Northwest Stadium to cover the Commanders, I'll use a Zipcar because I need something for a few hours, and also getting picked up in a Lyft or an Uber at the stadium is kind of a nightmare. These Zipcars, I feel like, as someone who talks about smoking on the show all the time, I feel like Zipcars are magnets for smokers. You wouldn't believe the number of times that I will open up a Zipcar and it's like somebody has come in here and they've been smoking the entire time. So, in fact, there's one car I use on a regular basis because these are located throughout the city and there's a few that are close to my neighborhood. It's a quick walk. And it has a cigarette butt burn on the passenger seat. So I have to document this every single time I get in the car, like, hey, there's a burn in through the fabric because someone has put out their cigarette on the seat. It's gross. They need to be cleaned up. And they're super expensive. Like half a day is easily over $100. So if I'm going to pay this money, get the smoke out of your cars, take a vacuum to them, and clean them up.
I feel like that smoke smell, though, is so difficult to get out. And this is why, like, I hate cigarette smoke, because it just, it lingers on everything. Like, if you go to a bar and people are smoking, I have to take a shower and wash my hair, because it just stays in your hair. And, like, that sucks. Washing your hair as somebody who has a lot of hair is an absolute process, and I don't want to do it. So do not smoke around me. I don't want that on me. All right, so my Whine About It Wednesday is going to be the Titans. And sports talk radio these days is downright depressing. Like, I listen to local radio all the time because I want to hear about my local teams. But now it's gotten so bad that I can't even listen to it, Jenks, without wanting to go play in traffic. Like, it's wild. Like, these former players who are so distraught about the current state of the Titans. Because, listen, like, we haven't been super relevant in, like, the past 5 years, even when Mike Vrabel was here. But at least when we had Mike Vrabel, we were in contention. We were at least covering spreads. You know, like, that's the wild thing about the Titans. Like, their first game of the season, it was the first time they had covered in, like, a year. Like, they're getting the break speed off of them. And this week we play the Colts, who haven't even punted yet. Can't wait for that one. And I absolutely hate the Colts. You know my feelings on Indianapolis. I hate the city. I hate the team. I hate that stupid building that looks like a Kroger where they play their games. So I'm locking in for Sunday, but I'm not feeling great about it. There's nothing worse than, like, being in a rivalry and your rival just, like, getting all the love and being amazing. Meanwhile, your team is, like, the bottom of the barrel. Like, we look like one of the worst teams in football.
Do you like Blue, the Colts mascot? He's funny. You know what I'm talking about?
No, because he's for the Colts.
You don't know?
Do you like the Oklahoma mascot? No.
No, but he's not funny. It's a schooner. Like, that's, there's nothing funny about a schooner. Like, I just hope it turns over on its side. I'm like, oh, well, if there's people inside, that's, you know, them's the breaks. But a furry mascot, I feel like, is a lot different.
But it's still our rival. Like, there's nothing about UNC that I like. Like, Michael Jordan's literally the only person, and it's because he's the greatest of all time at a sport that I love. So, like, no. You'd be like, oh, look at this little dog. It has a UNC sweater on. Don't you love it, Chelsea? I'm like, no, get that dog out of here. I'm going to kick it over that goalpost. No, I don't like it. So, clearly, tough times in the Tennessee Kingdom over here.
Oh, I feel bad for you guys. Yeah. When you're talking about punting dogs over a goalpost, I feel like that's you're close to rock bottom there. And we have Double D. He has a whine about it Wednesday today, too.
All right, David, get in here.
Okay, so I know we've all had this issue where, you know, we all have to, our bank gets a hold of us and tells us, hey, there might be a charge that you did not do, yada, 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 blah, blah, blah. I had that happen over the weekend. Banks aren't open on the weekend after 12 p.m. on Saturday. I got this after that. So, and I won't name the bank, but it does rhyme with Hemobaris Bank. Hemobaris. Yeah, that's right. I said Hemobaris. It rhymes with that.
Okay.
If you get it. If you get it, you do get it. If you don't, you don't. That being said, so I flip my debit card over to the 24-hour hotline to take care of my issue. I get through all the automation. I get through all the shenanigans to get to an actual person. And what do I get? An automated person going, I'm sorry, our hours are from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. Please call back later.
Oh.
What? Wait a minute. The card says 24-hour service. What are we doing? If it says 24-hour service, I should be able to call whenever I want. 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. is not 24-hour service, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, especially when you're dealing with your money. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, when you're talking about money, it's like, listen, man, I need you guys to be open 24 hours. I'm not trying to wait another 8 hours so you can tell me, you know, if this transaction is going to go through or something. So I totally hear that.
It was so agitating.
Anything where you have to call like a hotline or a 1-800 number, I feel like you just got to strap in because it's never going to be an experience. I have never called a 1-800 number and been like, whoa, that was really pleasant. I got to talk to a human from the start. No, no, no. You have to get through the like 7 layers of hell before you talk to a human.
I don't believe that.
And don't get me wrong, I love my bank. I've had them for a very long time, never had an issue with them, but this one got me. Just don't put on the back of the card that it's a 24-hour service. That's all I'm asking. Just put the hours that you can call.
And I am merely asking my Titans to not go 0-17 and 0-17 against the spread. Like, we're not asking for much here. Like, we're not asking for the world. So Jenks is somebody who's been a fan of a team that was kind of in that spot with the Commanders, which I don't even think the Commanders were as bad as like what the Titans are now. How do you get through the worst of the worst times? Like, what's the glimmer of hope that I should be reaching for?
Well, you know, you just have to look at Cam Ward and say, you know, he does have a great arm. I mean, he'll make some throws. You're like, oh my God, you can see that first round talent pop. I mean, first overall pick talent pop in a big way. I think you just have to sort of keep hope alive, right? And say, look, this was never going to be it's all about kind of convincing yourself that this was never going to be a 1-year turnaround. That's a very rare thing. I know it happened with the Commanders last year, and we'll see about this year. But ultimately, you have what looks to be a franchise quarterback. You've got a coach who, okay, he should learn what a catch is, but there are reasons to be excited because it always starts at the quarterback. At the quarterback position. So I think you start there and say, hey, maybe by the end of the year we see him come along and then it looks like maybe there's a path for us. It's just hope against hope.
I know you're trying to be positive, but I think like the negative spin is that I'm afraid that Cam Ward has like great NFL potential and the Titans are going to waste it. Because like we see that all the time. is that the physical tools are there for quarterbacks, and maybe there are people in Chicago who can commiserate with me, where sometimes the organization matters, and it's not enough to be just a good quarterback. You need an organization mm-hmm. that'll bring you along and give you good coaching. Like, Tom Brady had a great answer when I think Colin Cowherd asked him about this, of like, you know, is it, because Colin Cowherd had like some random benchmark. He was like, I think you give him a year and a half. And Tom Brady was like, no, it's not a benchmark. It's definitely individualized
so
depending on, you know, the organization. And right now, Caleb Williams is not getting a whole lot of feedback. Like, we've heard the stories about like nobody watching film with him. So maybe Ben Johnson can turn things around. But so far, it's not looking great in Chicago. So maybe we need a support group for Bears and Titans fans. All right, coming up next, we talk baseball. Daily baseball plays come your way next here on the Daily Tip.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back on a Wednesday here on the Daily Tip. That means we have daytime baseball today. If you are employed or you have things to do during the day, well, make time. You know, tell them you're in a meeting because we have some games to bet on when it comes to baseball. And it's always nice. Like, it's a nice surprise on Wednesday that we don't have to wait till later in the day, because that is my one knock on the NFL, is that some of these games start way too late. Like, I can't enjoy a game that starts at 10 Eastern. So at least baseball has in mind, like, the people who have to go to bed early, because some of these games start well before our bedtime. And Jenks, our bedtime is very early.
Yes. Well, especially me. I mean, come on. These late games, forget about it. I will wake up in the middle of the night sometimes. I'm trying to resist this urge, and I'll, you know, box score check. Like, I went, you know, like, I'll just get up, go to the bathroom or whatever. I wake up and I turn over and I'm like, should I grab my phone and see if the Yankees held on to win this game or what? This morning, I held out until I woke up, but it's not easy because I'm usually turning in at a pretty decent hour, and it takes me a while to kind of fall asleep anyway, but that phone being right there is always a temptation.
Yeah, but it's one of those things where you know it's bad for you, but it's like still a fun feeling to have it, because on the nights that we don't have football, I'm like, what am I supposed to do? Like, I have on, like, some baseball games, but, like, I attempted to watch, like, Practical Magic because, like, I'm trying to get in the fall mood here, but it's, like, 90 degrees, mm-hmm. so it's difficult. I don't know. Like, it doesn't hit the same way it does for live sports because you, like, kind of know what's going to happen. And I feel like in sports, it is the ultimate reality show. So it's just not the adrenaline level that, mm-hmm. like, sports give you. So at least we get that in the afternoon when it comes to baseball. And if you love the WNBA, well, the playoffs are starting as well. If you want a boost token for the WNBA, you can lock in for every basket with this WNBA same game parlay boost token. Use your token on any WNBA same game parlay and you'll score a bigger payout if your same game parlay wins. So you can bet on the WNBA, you can lock in some NFL bets already, or like I said, you can bet on baseball and get a payout by this afternoon. So Jenks, we have several games that start before the sun goes down. So looking mm-hmm. at the early slate, we have the Cubs and the Pirates, which burned us yesterday, Reds, Cardinals, Orioles, White Sox, Giants, Diamondbacks, and Braves, Nationals for the early slate. Are there any games in that window that you will be betting on?
Well, I kind of want to go Cubs and Pirates again, but I don't know. I know. That's a tough one. I've gone back and forth on this one. So as per usual, I'll start off with a smaller card and then I'll go to a bigger card. But you can go first five, under five, minus 155. I don't know. This is a tough one. I will say that Johan Oviedo for the Pirates has been awesome. And I know he's facing these Cubs bats, and that's always, you know, the risk. No matter who you are, if you're a very good pitcher, facing Chicago is never an easy task. But I'll tell you something. He's been good, and he has not allowed more than two runs in his last five outings. Faced the Brewers, Red Sox, and Blue Jays during that stretch. So it's not like he's been facing poor hitting teams. I mean, these are some of the better hitting teams in all of Major League Baseball, and he's been really good. Matthew Boyd, at least four runs in four of his last five outings. I'm a little worried more about Matthew Boyd than I am about Johan Oviedo, but I feel like being an early game in particular and the fact you can get a five, I would lead first five under five, but I don't know if I'm going to play it.
I feel like this will definitely hit just because of one of those things where it's like, okay, of course it's going to hit the day after we have like the pitching matchup that is like the best on the card, where Paul right. Steens can't even blank him, you know, in five innings, because sometimes baseball's funny like that. But all the factors still make sense. Like, the Pirates still are one of the first five, or one of the worst teams at scoring runs in the first five innings, the second worst team in all of baseball. So sometimes in baseball, it's difficult because you have to grit your teeth and look at like the macro perspective on things, because baseball is not a small sample size sport. So just because it doesn't hit one night doesn't mean it's not going to hit the next. Low-key a good pitching matchup in this Orioles-White Sox game. Like, we're talking about good pitching. Mm-hmm. Tyler Wells has been really good for the Orioles. 1-0 awesome. With a 2.31 ERA. Facing a White Sox lineup that clearly is not one of the best in all of baseball, they can be a little scrappy at times. Then you have Martin Perez, who is 1-5 despite having a 3.27 ERA, which 3.27 is pretty solid. He had one blow up over his last three where he gave up six runs to the Tigers, but that's one of the best lineups in all of baseball. Rebounded last time around against the Guardians, 6 2/3 with three earned runs. That is a quality start. Jenks, would you consider playing this game? Like, sometimes I don't like playing the bad teams just because I feel like they're kind of all over the place. But if there was ever, like, you know, numbers that support another under or a first five under, I feel like this would be the case.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of like the Orioles, though, honestly.
Yeah, makes sense.
I like the Orioles on the money line. I don't mind the first five under. Martin Perez has fallen off a little bit, but he's also been really good at home. But Tyler Wells, I think, here is just the better pitcher. He's been awesome, you know, since he's come back. And not unhittable, but certainly one of the better pitchers in the game with a small sample size. And also, the Orioles have beaten the White Sox now like 11 out of their last 12 meetings. So sometimes, you know, one squad just has another team's number. So with the Orioles playing as well as they have against the Pale Hose, and you've got Tyler Wells on the mound, I think if I'm going to play this game, I'd probably just take Baltimore on the money line. And it's -125, so it's palatable.
I think I would do it in the first five innings, right? If you were simply backing Tyler Wells, Orioles first five money line is -125. That's a solid bet. The first five under number is 4.5, and you can get that under for -110. So I think both those are solid plays, surprisingly so. Can't remember the last time I bet an Orioles or a White Sox game, but maybe today is the day. All right, looking towards the later portion of the card, it does feel like this is run line season. And we've talked about this on the show in previous years where, you know, once they have September call-ups, once there are divisional races that are kind of out of reach for some of these teams, this is when we see, like, some, you know, big gaps start to form between the best teams and the worst teams in all of baseball. Because I was looking at this A's and Red Sox game. That kind of feels to be the case for me in this one, especially with Mason Barnett going for the A's today, 1-1, 8.53 ERA. Lucas Giolito has been solid on the season, 10-4 with a 3.31 ERA. Boston is -190 on the money line, but obviously you can get a much better price on the run line here if that's the play that you like. You can get them for +115 on the run line. So, Jenks, is it run line season for the Red Sox?
Oh, I'm looking at this right now. It sure looks like it, right? Man, I think I might add this to the card. I like this a lot. Yeah, I mean, Mason Barnett has really struggled. Unless you get plus money, too. Or you go first five as well, but ultimately, wouldn't you want those? I mean, I think you would want those Red Sox bats late in this game, too, right? Like, I know they're at home, but ultimately, against this A's relief staff, I think I'd probably want to take the full game run line, just kind of like we did with Milwaukee, right? Like, that's kind of the comp where you've got a team in the A's. They're not playing for anything, right? They've got a pitcher on the mound who's really struggled this season, at least 3 runs in 3 starts. One of those starts was against Boston. Last time out, gave up 3 runs in 3 2/3. Boston won that game 5-4. But ultimately, in a game like this, when you can get plus money against a bad team, and you've got Giolito on the mound for Boston, by the way, who's been great this season. Yeah, I'm going to add this to the card. Plus money, because I've got some minus money picks on the card as well. Yeah, let's go Red Sox on the run line. You talked me into it.
Yeah, I think you get a better price on this because the A's have been good in the recent sample size. 5 straight wins for the A's, but I think this is a get right spot for the Red Sox. Should be noted, Mason Barnett did start against the Red Sox not that long ago, but he only went 3 2/3. So again, I think this is a great get right spot for the Red Sox to play them on the run line for a little plus money. So run line season, once again, can we apply this to any other team today? Like, are we back on the Brew Crew today? I know maybe you're a little hesitant to bet on the Yankees again.
Yeah.
Are we going with the Brewers?
I mean, I had it yesterday. I had it. Mm. That was going to be a blowout win. I had Yankees -1 yesterday. It was absolutely going to be a blowout. And then even when the Twins made that incredible comeback, they still lost the game, but where they were pushing the Yankees at the end, and still the Yankees were up 10-8 in the ninth, which would have meant my bet would have hit. Instead, the Twins get a run, and so my bet pushed. So at least it wasn't a loss, but I don't know if I want to go back to the well now. There'll be 3 straight days on the Yankees. They do have... And the pitching advantage here with Luis Gil going up against Taj Bradley. Maybe I should do it because this would be the one. Maybe I'll just go big card today. Let's go Philly Mick card today because you know the one time that I did not bet them would be the one time that get it done. 1,000%.
For sure. Absolutely. If you don't make it an official play on the show, they're going to win like 10-2.
Exactly.
Let's go back to the Brewers for a second because I will say I don't love this matchup quite as much as we did yesterday for the Brewers because Jose Siriano has had some good starts despite a 4.13 ERA, but Brandon Woodruff's one of their best pitchers for the Brew Crew. 6-2, 3.32 ERA. Brewers have the much better lineup, and plus, again, I said this yesterday, you can make a solid case for the Brewers on the run line every single day of the week because they have the best run differential in all of baseball by a wide margin. Like, theirs is like in the 170s. Everybody else, you know, the second best team in baseball is in the 120s. So Brewers on the run line again, ? Jenks?
I looked at this game. I think the thing that scared me off is that Jose Soran... Look, I'm not going to talk anyone off of betting the Brewers on the run line, right? Because the Angels are playing for nothing. The Brewers still have a lot to play for. They crushed it yesterday. They're the highest scoring team in baseball after the All-Star break. So there's a lot of reasons why you might like Milwaukee here, especially if you get them at plus money. I will say Jose Soriano has burned me a couple times, so I'm a little skittish there. Mm-hmm. Also, his home road splits are really interesting where he's so much better on the road. Like, he's a completely different pitcher. Which is odd because there's one thing to have a difference in splits. You see that all the time. It's quite another to have a significant difference where the splits are just wildly different. And he's one of those pitchers where the splits are wildly different. So looking at his road splits, I decided I would sort of pump the brakes on this. And also the total is 7.5. So when I'm looking at a potential run line play, I'd like the total to be a little bit higher. Not always, but I think I'm going to pass on this one.
Yeah, I think, again, like, the situational spot was better yesterday for the Brewers. So it's like, I like this play today, but I loved it yesterday. So sometimes you got to know when to walk away and say, okay, maybe it's not my favorite play of the day. All right, so we have a few other games that we haven't touched on quite yet. Mariners have won 10 in a row. You can get them for a pick'em today against the Royals. At some point, they're probably going to lose a game. And I will say on paper, like, this is not my favorite matchup with Bryce Miller. 4-5 with a 5.59 ERA. Going against Cole Reagans, 2-3, 5.18 ERA. But, Jenks, the much hotter team is obviously the Mariners.
I mean, I think ultimately I might look at the over here. Maybe Cole Reagans is finally back. He looked really good in the minors, where he gave up a couple of home runs, but also, I think, struck out 10 over his last 2 appearances, so he's definitely back at full strength. I will say this. The Royals' bullpen is better than it was last year, but Reagans is not going to go long in this game because they will have him on a pitch count. They want to ease him back in because he had that that rotator cuff injury, I believe it was. So he won't go long, and that means you get more of a longer outing for that Royals bullpen, and I think that benefits the Mariners here. So the Mariners at this price with the way they've been playing at some point, sure, this streak has to come to an end, but Seattle at minus 110 is going to be hard to pass up.
Yeah, I feel like it's a team you definitely don't bet against, like with the momentum that they have, because baseball sometimes can be a very streaky sport. And right now, the Mariners have all the momentum. Cal Raleigh just hit his 56th home run. And didn't you say there was another guy last night that had a massive day at the plate? So it just feels like everything is, you know, connecting for the Mariners, who are still playing very meaningful games, just a half game in the lead of the AL West and only two games behind the Tigers for the best record in the American League. So they still have something to play for. They've got all the momentum. So it does feel like a very cheap price on the Mariners. I consider playing the Rangers today with Jacob DeGrom, 12-7, 2.82 ERA against Christian Javier of the Astros, 1-3, 4.78 ERA, Texas minus 125, Houston plus 105. But at the end of the day, like, I kind of feel like this is a coin flip game. Like, these two teams, yeah. I feel like it doesn't matter who's pitching. These two teams always play each other, like, pretty well. So I don't think it's going to make the card for me. But based on the numbers at hand, I do think I like the Rangers.
Yeah, I think that's probably where I'd go. And DeGrom has been really good to us, right, this season. Now, he's struggled a little bit, which is funny because, you know, struggle is always relative when you're talking about someone like him. Like, ooh, he gave up three runs in his last couple of outings. Oh, that's terrible. It's just, it's not what we're used to seeing from Jacob DeGrom, which is a credit to him. But I would lean Rangers here. I just feel like that, I mean, I kind of liked the under yesterday. That did not hit. The Rangers made a late rally in that game, even though it fell short. But I would lean Rangers here.
Yeah, I think so as well. Because by definition, like for people wondering, 7 innings and 3 earned runs by definition is a quality start. Like they have all these like classifications of like, you know, what a start is, like what a gem is. I think that's like 8 innings maybe. But still, very good starts from Jacob DeGrom, even though the strikeouts are down. Like that's a little bothersome because obviously Jacob DeGrom used to be a strikeout machine. He only struck out 2 against the Mets last time around, even though I will say this, the Mets are one of the least strikeout-prone teams in all of baseball. Coming up next, time to talk football. It's been a minute on the show. Time to get to the Big Ten and the biggest games on the card. We bring in Anthony Herron of the Big Ten Network next on the Daily Tip.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. It is Wednesday, September 17th here on the show. And in a few minutes, we'll get into the Big Ten and everything that's going on in the network as we bring in Anthony Herron of SiriusXM, Big Ten Radio, and Big Ten Network. Jinx, I think that's the one conference that I haven't been to many of the stadiums. Like, I would love to go to the SHU. I would love to go to a game at Michigan. I would love to go to a game at Wisconsin. I just feel like I've never had a reason to go to those games, so I haven't. Like, I've been to a lot of SEC games. I've been to ACC games. But I don't know. The Big Ten has some good venues.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Double D's always trying to get me to go to a whiteout at Penn State, which I feel like would be amazing. I'd like to go to the Big House. I don't really have any interest in going to the SHU. Like, whatever. Ohio State fans can stay in the SHU. But now, especially when you look at, you know, the reimagined Big Ten with it, you know, bringing in these Pac-12 teams now, like Oregon, I'd like to go to Autzen Stadium. I hear that environment is amazing. You know, I hear, I know they're not traditional Big Ten teams, but even Husky Stadium out in Seattle is supposed to be remarkable because it's right there on the water. So that's one thing that I haven't done in my career that I think over time I'd like to do, which is to, you know, dot myself across the map and see some of these incredible venues.
Yeah, maybe we should take a sabbatical and just take a road
trip,
even though that would be a very long road trip for the Big Ten now that some of the teams are on the West Coast. All right, let's bring in Anthony Aaron now of SiriusXM Big Ten Radio and Big Ten Network. So, Anthony, before we get into, like, the games this weekend, because we do have some big ones, what's the best venue in the Big Ten?
So, it depends on exactly what you're looking for, but to me, the venue that combines volume of people with, you know, just the pure amount of folks in the stadium with their actual volume and how loud they are and how imposing that can be for the opponents, but then also the pageantry that you look for in a college football stadium between the various chants and color schemes on a different night and just how into it fanatical they are, it's Beaver Stadium. You know, you go to Happy Valley, you go to State College, that is where the Penn State Nittany Lions, whether it's a whiteout or not, now the whiteout is sort of, you know, peak pageantry and peak fanaticism when there's a whiteout happening, when a big opponent comes into town. But even when it's not a whiteout, you go to State College, you go to Beaver Stadium, that is a special place for a college football game. So I got to put that one at the top of the list.
Anthony, I do want to ask you about Indiana and Illinois, but first, I saw you and Kirk Ferentz, Coach Ferentz, on the field after he became the winningest coach in Big Ten history over the weekend. What was it like being there and being with him in that moment?
I've gotten to do some cool things in this industry over the years, but that was just one of the more surreal moments for me because I played my college ball at Iowa, and I did so in a transitional time. My first 2 years were played for Hayden Fry, the previous coach, and then my last 2 years were played after Coach Fry retired for Kirk Ferentz as he came in 1999. And we weren't very good in Kirk's first couple of years, but he tends to go out of his way to reference the guys, you know, kind of my age, essentially, who were part of sort of the building blocks of the program. And then it was the very next year after I left in 2001 where all the guys that I came in with to Iowa, the guys in my recruiting class who they all redshirted, I ended up playing as a true freshman. So I was gone. But in 01 and then beyond when he started making bowl games and winning Big Ten championships is when the program really took off. So to be there for win number one as a player and then to be back there where I called the game in the booth for the Big Ten Network, and Iowa had lost to the in-state rival Iowa State Cyclones the week before. Kirk would have broken the record in Ames if he did what he normally does and take down the Cyclones at Ames, but Iowa lost a close one, 54-yard field goal did him in, and so it was the least disappointed I've been about the Hawkeyes losing to the Cyclones because I knew that meant I was going to have the opportunity to call his record-breaking game, and the Big Ten Network was sensational about it, where they did want to personalize the broadcast since I had played for Kirk and that we've stayed close over the years. And it was a really, really cool night to just sort of see a bunch of things come together. I voiced the opening tease for the game that, you know, ran on social media throughout the day, and that really kind of got folks going a little bit. And then the game itself was, of course, a blowout because UMass is just a really struggling football team right now. And then they snuck me down from the booth late in the fourth quarter. They had some folks escort me from the booth down to the field and ended up having it as a surprise for Kirk that I was doing the post-game interview. So there was a lot that just came together really well. And a lot of folks worked really hard, and I'm glad we were able to pull it off in the way that we did.
Ah, that's so awesome. What a cool moment. All right, so now let's ask about Illinois and Indiana. The big game of the week, it feels like, in the Big Ten, and a game with big implications for a team that could possibly go to the college football playoff. So Indiana home favorites here. And I will say this, Indiana has been running up the score on some of these teams, but we really haven't had like a prove-it game quite yet for them. Meanwhile, Illinois handled business against Duke on the road. So who has the edge here?
Illinois is the team that's certainly been tested more this season because, like you mentioned, they had that game on the road against Duke. And the Illini have been together longer. Now, Indiana, what was really unique about the Hoosiers last season, where it was Kurt Cignetti's first year leading the Hoosiers. It was his first year in the Big Ten. first year as a head coach at the major college football level, but he had so many of his players who had been with him previously at James Madison, and then he brought in, you know, a few other sort of key transfer portal pieces as well, like quarterback Curtis Rourke, who also is a guy with something to prove, with a chip on his shoulder. But that did provide a degree of continuity for Indiana last season that they just took off and ran with everything. That's not the case this year. They do have some pre-existing talent, but they've also got new quarterback in Fernando Mendoza, some new playmakers, especially on the line of scrimmage. On both lines of scrimmage, where they were so good last year, they've got some new pieces. Illinois is now the older team, the veteran team, the team that's been through some things together. And that's really shown up a lot, especially in the second half of games where they've really hit another gear on some of their opponents. So I would say the intangible advantage certainly goes to the Illini. And a quarterback is Luke Altmyer, who's now a starter for his third year with this program. And when it gets into the red zone is where the Illini have been pretty special, where Luke Altmyer has been at his best. And it can be difficult. Once you get inside the 20, the confines of the field can make it tough for a quarterback to pass with precision or even take off and run to find space. But they find a way to scheme Luke Altmyer, sort of an underrated athlete as a quarterback. But they get him on the move in the red zone, and they've been able to do some special things down there. And this is, in a top 20 class, it's certainly one of the top games of the weekend. And historically, with Illinois and Indiana both ranked, we haven't seen that since 1950, where both these teams have been ranked going into a game against each other. And I can't think of any time in my adult life where I would think there's championship implications when Illinois and Indiana are playing, not in hoops, but in football. Yeah. It's going to be a really fun one.
Anthony, I know we got to get you out of here, but quickly, I just wanted your take on Penn State. We've heard all of the preseason hype. Haven't played anyone yet, but they get Oregon in a massive matchup next Saturday. Where do you stand on the Nittany Lions?
The good thing with Penn State is that we see their defense continuing to be of championship caliber, and their run game is deep and talented, perhaps the best tandem of backs in the country, in Nicholas Singleton and Catron Allen. And there does seem to be some bolstered weaponry at receiver, but as up to this point, the passing attack hasn't really taken off yet. And that's where, you know, to have Drew Aller, a quarterback as physically gifted as him, he does need to continue to not only enhance his precision at the position, but look for those big play, those chunk play opportunities. And it is his second year having Andy Kotelnicki as his offensive coordinator. So I believe those will come, but that's probably the main aspect of the Nittany Lions. It's been a bit underwhelming so far. And by comparison to the Oregon Ducks, they're a team with a lot of potential, and they've got a first-year starting quarterback in Dante Moore. But we do see them showing the ability to attack opponents on each side of the ball, frankly, in a variety of ways. They can rush the quarterback. They can cover and take it away on the back end. Their run game has become more and more explosive in the early weeks of the season here, and they can hit you with the chunk play in the passing game also. So this is a really complete-looking Oregon team that Penn State's going to have to face in a couple of weeks. So they got to figure out, how do we start to scheme up the vertical pass in a way that they haven't so far this season? And it's a little surprising, because that was the main question coming out of last year, if they could pick up more chunks through the air.
Yeah, it's always great when we have those prove-it games early in the season to see what type of talent we're truly working with on both sides of that coin. He is Anthony Herron. He does hosting duties for Big Ten Network. He's also on SiriusXM for Big Ten Radio. We know it's a busy time of year. Thank you so much for your time.
I appreciate you both having me on. Let's do it again sometime.
Yes, yeah, sir. Can't wait for more insider stories about the broadcast, about, you know, the teams. That's really cool. I love hearing, you know, like the peek behind the curtain when mm-hmm. it comes to like the broadcast and like the little personal moments that like broadcasters get to have with the coaches. It's just one of those things that like humanizes the sport even more, because, you know, we work with numbers mm-hmm. and betting, and that's fine. But like the human element and like the little anecdotes, like that's what makes things interesting.
Oh, man. A couple of my favorite moments ever in this industry are when you sort of make a connection with someone that was unexpected, right? Like, I'm sure when Anthony started playing under Coach Ferentz, he would have never guessed, oh, my God, here we are years later, and we remain close this entire time, and now I'm getting to interview you after our history about something you've accomplished now that no one else has ever done in the history of the conference. Like, that's an amazing story. And those are the things, even though you'll have a lot of great moments, you have a lot of great games that you get to be a part of or you get to witness, it's those sort of touchstone moments that you sort of take with you throughout your career and mean the most.
It also is nice to see that, like, a coach and a player still talk. Because, like, we hear this all the time from coaches, is that we're leading young men. This is more than just football. And sometimes it just feels like, you know, just coach speak, you know, where they're just saying that. You're like, okay, how much money are you paying them? But it's, like, cool to see that they're still in touch and that there was, like, some type of connection there, that the coach was being good at a leadership role. All right, coming up next is hour three of the show. We'll talk the latest headlines in the NFL, including the tush push on the hot seat, next on The Daily Tip.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.